Hey everyone, it's Tony. Before we get into tonight's show, I just want to remind you once again to go to your favorite podcatcher, hit subscribe, and leave us a happy review. You know those happy reviews help us rise in the charts so more people can enjoy the show, just like you. When you're done doing that, go to Facebook and Twitter and give us a follow and a like. We also have a new Facebook fan page where you can join the conversation about these shows. I would really encourage everybody to go join that group. If you want to be on the show, there's two ways to go about doing that. You can either email me directly at theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to the website, which is theconfessionalspodcast.com, go to the connection section, and you can email me that way as well. I really hope everybody enjoys the show.
Just another lonely night. Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
They're staying in the shadows. It's called probing. Make sure things are all clear.
Clear for what?
For the rest of the night.
You guys hear that?
He's out there.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Tony, and I am glad that you're here, and I'm glad to be here. This week was rough for me at work. Many of you know I drive tractor-trailer Monday through Friday, and this week in the Northeast, we got dumped on with about 40 inches of snow in some areas. Now, my area didn't get hit that hard. I got, I think, about 8 to 9 inches of snow, but man, I tell you, about 5 inches of that was probably sleet. I woke up on Tuesday morning, I just heard sleet smacking my window, and I just knew right there I was not going to work. And, you know, so I spent the day on Tuesday just cleaning the driveway and things like that, which wasn't bad at all. But, you know, Wednesday comes and you need to get back to work and drive in the aftermath. And I get to my first delivery and the gate was closed. Now, they were there, but the gate was actually closed. So I'm ringing the doorbell. Nobody's answering. It's a huge warehouse. I'm talking, this place was absolutely huge. It took me about 5 minutes to walk around it because nobody was answering. So I had to go through the front door. And so I'm going through the warehouse and I'm talking to the employees and they said, yeah, absolutely. We'll open the gate for you. No problem. And by the time we got outside on the other side of the gate was already semi-opened. And, you know, I said to the guy, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And I walked over to the gate and I start opening it. Now the gate was open inwards towards the yard. So it wasn't going to be opening towards my truck. It was going to actually open the opposite direction in towards the yard that I was pulling into. And so I started opening the gate nice and easy. And all of a sudden I heard somebody yell at me, yo, stop opening the gate. And I turn around and this guy said, they opened the other way. I said, all right. So I start opening it the other way. And once it got parallel with the rest of the fence, it wouldn't open any further. And so I looked back at him as he was walking up to me and I said, man, you're going to have to open this up because I don't know what you're talking about. And so he comes over and he says that the plow company actually messed up the gate. And he told me that I forced the gate open the wrong way. And I said, whoa, I didn't force anything open the wrong way. And so I had to call my safety department just to let them know what happened so they knew that I wasn't not reporting something that happened and that I was not at fault. And so, you know, that all worked out okay. And I moved on. You know, I went on with my day. After that stop, I'm driving to the next delivery. And all of a sudden, I start smelling this antifreeze. I'm thinking, where's that antifreeze coming from? And I get to a red light and I'm stopped. And all of a sudden, I start noticing smoke surrounding my truck. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so I found a safe spot to pull over. And I pull over and I open up the hood and all this smoke, white smoke, just comes pouring out from underneath the hood. And I'm like, you got to be stinking kidding me. I smelled the antifreeze real strong. It sprayed everywhere. I had no idea where it was leaking. So I called my terminal. And I told them what happened, that I broke down. And they said, okay, well, call safety. So I call safety again and I tell them what's going on, and they get me in touch with the tow truck company, and the tow truck company decided to go to my terminal and pick up another truck for me to bring it to me so I could switch it. And so I'm sitting there for about an hour. Now, keep in mind, I lost my antifreeze, so I don't have any heat in my truck. It's about 23 degrees outside with about 20 mile per hour winds. And so it's cold out and I have no heat in the truck, and it's getting colder and colder by the minute. And so they said, okay, we're going to send the tow truck company out. The tow truck company comes, picks up a truck for me, and they're on the way to drop it off to me. And it turns out another driver broke down that actually had time sensitive deliveries on his trailer. So they actually had to turn around and take the truck they were bringing to me to the other driver. And so it delayed the whole process because they had to go back to the terminal, pick up another truck and bring it to me. All in all, I spent about 4 hours in my truck with no heat. And by the time it was all done, I was freezing. You could see my breath. And if you follow me on Instagram, you actually get to see a video that I shot with me breathing in my truck, and you see the cold air coming out of my mouth. It was pretty insane. I couldn't feel my toes. I couldn't feel my knees. But the tow truck finally comes, gives me the truck, and you know, I switch over to that truck and I hook it up to the trailer, and I'm on my way. I finished my last delivery and they sent me two different pickups I had to go do. And I get to my last pickup and it's really tight because, I wouldn't say it's really tight, but just it was more tight because of the snow mounds all around the parking lot. And so I'm backing into this one door, and my front driver's side of my truck rolls over a snow mound. Now, it's not a big deal. I mean, many of you drive cars and you probably run over snow mounds in your car, no big deal. And, I thought the same thing with my truck. You know, it's a big tractor trailer. And so, you know, I roll over it and I back in and no problem. I get back to my terminal that night and I'm doing a post trip, making sure that the truck is okay, the trailer's okay. And, excuse me. And I noticed that on the front driver's side of my truck, the front bumper was cracked. And it wasn't an old crack. It was a new, fresh crack. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened? Like, I didn't remember hitting anything. And then it hit me. I rolled over that snow mound. And with it being so cold out, it probably wasn't a snow mound, but an ice mound. And so when I rolled over it, it cracked the bumper. And I was like, man. So I called safety again. So I'm on the phone with safety all day long. Now, you don't want to be on the phone with safety. That's not ideal as a truck driver. And to be on the phone with safety three different times in one day, that's just not what you want to do. But I call safety again and I tell them what happened. I take pictures and I send it to them and I fill out my incident report and I hand it in to the boss and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, that was a bad day. And that was Wednesday. And then Thursday comes. And on Thursday, we were down some trucks, you know, because all the trucks were breaking down and, you know, some drivers were hitting some things. I wasn't the only one. There was other drivers hitting snow mounds too. It was just one of those weeks. And so I actually go in on Thursday and I actually had to go to a truck rental place and pick up a rental truck that I was going to be driving that day because we just didn't have enough trucks at the terminal. So I get this rental truck, and I said to the guy when I was, you know, looking it over and making sure everything's good before I pull out, I said, man, they make these trucks with these plastic bumpers, man. They're so fragile. You know, right there, you know, I jinx myself. I get to my first stop and I do the delivery. I come back out to my truck. And if you know anything about tractor trailers and stuff, they have what's called an air ride seat. And it's pretty much like an office chair where you can kind of go up and down with the air pressure. Well, tractor trailers have the same thing. So it provides a more comfortable ride, because if you don't have that air ride, every bump you hit, it's going to, you know, shake you around. It's going to hurt your back and, you know, you're going to have back problems after a while. So I get in my truck and all of a sudden I sit down in my truck and the seat sinks all the way down to the floor. Like I lost all air in it. I'm thinking, that's weird. So I hit the button to increase the air pressure and it's not going up. And I'm like, oh man. And so I'm stuck there with a truck that I'm sitting so low, you can't see the front of the hood. And I figured, all right, well, I'm just going to drive it like this. And, you know, it's uncomfortable to drive it like that, but it's manageable. You know, it's not safe. And so I continue with my run. And this first run that I had only had two stops on. I figured I'll just do the second delivery and go back to the terminal and see what happens. Well, I get to the second delivery and I've been there a million times and I start backing into the door, and because I can't see the front of my truck, I have a hard time judging the distance between the front of my truck and, you guessed it, the snow mounds, the ice mound right in front of my truck. And, you know, I know I'm close, but, you know, it is what it is. You gotta get the truck in the door. And so I'm backing up and all of a sudden I hear this. And I was like, oh no, I just scraped that ice mound. And so in the back of my, I continue backing up and I get into the door and I get into the door. I get out of the truck and I'm thinking to myself, before I look at it, I'm just like, I'm praying. I'm like, God, please, no damage, please. Like, I don't want to call safety again. Just let it be, you know, some little scraping on ice. No big deal. I walk around and the driver's side is fine. And as I turn my head and I look at the passenger side, half the bumper is hanging off. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I just looked at it and I was just like, it's one of those moments where you're not even surprised. You're just like, yep, that's how my week is going. So I go inside and I tell them that I had a delivery for them. It was like half a trailer load. So it takes some time to unload that. And I asked the fellow before we started unloading me, I said, do you have anything in here that I can use to tie up my bumper out front? And he's looking around and I'm thinking they should definitely have something because it's a wire company. That's what they do. They sell wire, spools of wire. I'm thinking they got to have some kind of junk wire. They didn't have any junk wire. He looks in the trash and he finds this little rope that barely had enough life on it. And so I go out there and I string it up and I tie the bumper and hang it from the mirror on the front of the truck. And I'm thinking, well, I hope this holds, you know, because I got to drive about half hour, 45 minutes back to my terminal. And with it shaking up and down while you're driving, I hope that the plastic wasn't going to saw through the rope. Because if that happened, I don't know what I would do. But, you know, so I tie it up and I call safety and tell them, hey, it's me again. And I took out another bumper. And the lady said, she's like, you're having one of those weeks, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm telling you, like, you know, I don't know what, you know, it's just silly things. It's not like I'm doing anything unsafe. I was driving careful, you know, and it's just when you get to the location, it's the small little things. It's always the small little things that get you. And so I tell her and I send her pictures. I get back to the terminal and I tell them, and I wound up driving that truck like that for the rest of the day. They gave me a bungee cord to help hold it up so that just in case that rope sawed through, it wouldn't fall on me. But yeah, I mean, that was my week. And Friday came and they actually put me in a small truck. Those little box trucks, I call them the ice cream trucks. I don't like driving them. They beat you up. They shake you around real hard. But they put me in that truck and I was thinking, I know they're not doing it on purpose because of what happened earlier this week because we're busy and all that stuff. But I just thought it's kind of ironic and I probably could use a break anyway. So I took it gladly and I went through my day yesterday and everything went pretty well. So I was happy with that. And even this morning, I had to wake up real early and go to the DMV, where the Department of Motor Vehicle, where you go and do your thing with the license and all that. Well, I had to go get a physical this morning to renew my medical card for work. And that took about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then I had to go to the DMV to register it with the state. And that took like 2 or 3 hours. So to get a physical and register with the state, which when I was actually doing those things combined, it took maybe 40 minutes. But waiting in the lines took about 5 hours in total. So I'm thinking, man, like this just stinks. Like I just want to go home and record the show and, you know, relax. And it's been a mess, but I'm glad that the week is behind me. I'm so glad it's behind me. And I'm looking forward to just doing this today, you know, recording and putting the show out for you guys so you can enjoy it. And before we actually get into the interview, I actually want to announce the winner of the contest we are doing this week. Now, the contest, if you didn't listen to last week's show, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But Lindsay was on with me last week, and she announced that we were going to do a contest that pretty much all you had to do was on either Facebook or Twitter or both, share the website www.theconfessionalspodcast.com. If you shared that website and you hashtagged it theconfessionalspodcast.com, you were in the running to win a book. The book is called A Field Guide to Sasquatch Structures by Christopher Noel. And like I said last week, this book It's just a fun book to have in your backpack when you're hiking around, if you're into the Bigfoot thing. You know, many of you know I am. And if you're into that and you're into going out in the woods and hiking and just exploring and seeing if you can find any signs of Bigfoot, this is such a great book because it's a simple read and it's the 50 most common types in North America Sasquatch structures. And so it has pictures with everything and small little descriptions. It's an easy read. And it's just a fun book to have while you're out in the woods. So when you see something, you can kind of refer to it and see if you can find it in the book anywhere, you know? Now, the winner of this book is Kevin A. from Twitter. His Twitter handle is KJG Adams. And he did the submission, and we did the drawing earlier this morning, and his name came out of the hat. And so, Kevin, you are the winner of this book, and we will be contacting you to see where we can send it to. And congratulations, man. I really hope you enjoy it. I have my own copy of it after I was borrowing my buddy's copy. And so, you know, I enjoy it, and I really hope you enjoy it too. Christopher Noel knows that this competition is going on, and he was very excited to hear that we were going to be giving one of his books away to a lucky listener. So Christopher Noel knows, and he's really excited that you're going to have that book as well. So let's get to the interview tonight. Tonight's interview is with Brian, and Brian shared some stories that he remembered from his childhood, where his mom was called in to deal with demonic, the best I can describe is demonic possession of two individuals at two separate times. And he shares those stories today, and I'm telling you, these stories are jaw-dropping. The things that his mom saw, the things that he saw, Man, I loved reading the email I got for Brian, and I knew I had to have him on the show. And when I got a hold of him and I started hearing it in person while he's telling the stories while we're recording, I was just like, man, this is going to be such a great show. So I'm really excited to share this show with you guys, and I hope you enjoy it. Without any further delay, let's get to it. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I really appreciate you reaching out to me and talking to me through email for a little bit and stuff. It was a delight, to say the least. I was reading your email and what you shared with me in email. I was thinking, man, I got to hear this guy's story because it was just so unique. And so I figured I'd give you a call tonight and do this interview and see, you know, how things go. So what I want to do kind of let you walk us into the story you'd like to share with us and, you know, let the audience know what happened.
Okay. So, I grew up, you know, in New Jersey, Central Jersey. And I was, you know, my mother was watching me when, you know, I think I was probably about like 6, maybe 7 years old. And my mother had a friend who she would hang out with, she would pray with and read the Bible with and whatnot. You know, she was one of her church friends. And one day she got a call from her friend. Her friend's name is Susan. And she said, Pat's my mother's name. She said, Pat, get over here right away as soon as you can. So, you know. And, you know, my mom had to get over there to see what was going on. I don't think she told her anything else besides, you know, just to come over. So, I think, yeah, my father was home. So she took me along with her. Now it was about like 5 blocks away, but we drove over there and my mom, you know, just walked in cause she's, you know, was accustomed to just, you know, walking in saying hi. And I walked in right behind her. And now straight ahead was like the living room. And then behind it was like the kitchen area. And up, like when you open the front door to the right was the stairwell going up to the second floor. Now my mother's friend was like in the kitchen area where the living room started to begin. And up on the right on the stairwell was this her daughter. She was probably like 17, I think, at the time, I would guess. And she was like, you know, sitting down, like with her head, look, you know, like above the banister, above the handrail. And she was cursing at her mother, like, you know, like screaming at her and cursing at her. And when I looked at her, you know, suddenly, you know, like I noticed her, but then when she started cursing, I really caught my attention, you know, I'm a little kid that I'm not used to that kind of language. And I look over and I see something, it was black and white, and it was like hazy. It was like semi translucent. And what it was, it was like a head. And it had like this long, like scraggly, long hair, like sticking up everywhere. And it had black eyes, like where their eyes were, there was like no eyes. It was just like black circles. And what really got me, what really caught my attention was the mouth, this thing. I don't know what it was, but the daughter's mouth was moving, and this thing's mouth was moving in perfect unison. So whenever she would curse or say something, the mouth of this thing, I would call it a demon. I don't know what it was. To me, it was just so repulsive and disgusting. I would call it a demon. I don't know. Like the mouth moved along with the girl's mouth. And so I caught a glimpse of that for about maybe like 6 seconds. And then my mom noticed the bottle and she said, Brian, go wait outside. So she told me, you know, push the door open. And now they had a regular door, heavy door. And then on the outside, they had a screen door, and this was like, I guess, first time. So the screen door was open, and I can hear what was going on, and I can vaguely see, you know, because it wasn't like that bright in there. There wasn't a lot of lights on, but anyway, I was listening, and my mom was like, she's like, "So, Susan, what do we have here?" And my mom's friend was like, "Well, Amy's got a little company." I guess, you know, we can say, you know, the daughter's name was Amy. And so she was just kept going on and on, but the daughter kept cursing and cursing, and this thing was just it didn't look at me. It wasn't looking at my mom. When I was inside, it was focused on the daughter's mother. Both of their eyes were set on her. So anyway, after I was outside, my mom and Susan, they began to pray for the daughter, Amy. And I guess, you know, my mother was she became a Christian, and they started to pray against it, you know, like pray against, you know, this thing, like, you know, telling you it's got to leave, you know, in the name of Jesus. It's got, you know, it has no authority to be there. But it went on for probably about 20, 25 minutes. I can't really remember 100%. And I just remember that Amy, the daughter, started getting like louder and louder. She was like screaming and just like carrying on. And that it got to the point, I don't know whether the head went away or not, because I couldn't really see it, but she just stormed upstairs into her bedroom and slammed the door. And you can just hear her, you know, still screaming and yelling and banging things. You know, throwing stuff around, whatever. But I know that later on, like when I think she was like Amy, the daughter, like she probably was about like 18, 19, 20, 21, somewhere around there. I don't remember. She ended up becoming a prostitute. She was a IV drug user, heroin user, heroin addict, and she eventually caught HIV and then AIDS, and she died, you know, at like 21, 22 years old. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what happened, what that was, but that was the first and only time in my life that I've ever seen anything like supernatural. Like, you know, I can't think of anything else in my life that I've ever seen. And that just like, it just shook me, you know? And it's like, I asked my mom about it. I remember my mom asking my mom about it, and she was like, oh, Amy has a ghost with her, or a spirit, she said. You know, I forgot about it after a little while. And then throughout the years, I would bring it up to my mom, and, you know, she would just like to fill me in with a little bit more facts here and there, like about her lifestyle and how she died and stuff like that. And also there was another, I don't know, I just remembered this story right now. I guess it's okay. I can say it was the same house. This was later. I remember this. This is like probably a couple of years later. I was friends with the youngest daughter. Her name was Jenny. Me and her were pretty good friends. And this, my mom and my mother and Susan, her friend, had this woman come over, and she wanted deliverance or something like that. From what I don't know, she wanted prayer or deliverance. So she brought her little son over, and they told us to go upstairs to my parents and Susan and the other lady's parents. I mean, the other lady told her son for all three of us to go up to Jenny's room, her youngest daughter's room. So we were up there playing, and I had no clue what was going on. My mother told me this like maybe like 5 years ago, but they started to pray for this woman, and she was in a rocking chair in the room, and they started to pray for her and pray I guess against whatever was keeping her, you know, like captive, or, you know, I can't really explain it. They were praying for her basically. And my mother told me that the room got ice cold, and, you know, like she was able to see her breath, and it started to build up like a, you know, crescendo. And it got to the point where this lady's rocking chair started to spin in circles. And at the same time, her young son was upstairs with us in the room. He started acting out. I remember that. He started like acting out. He started like trying to beat up on Jenny, the girl. And he was like, you know, like hitting her in the head with one of those car racetracks, you know, there was like a hard plastic, you like picked it up and beat it in her head. I was a little bit older. I grabbed him, you know, and he was growling and, you know, going nuts. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with this? And, you know, I'm yelling down to my mom, Mom, whatever his name is, he's, you know, misbehaving or whatever. And my mom, I remember my mom was like, just hold on, all right? Hold on, we're almost done, or something like that. We'll be done. We'll be out of here in a little bit soon. And I just remember he like pulled I remember the one thing. She had a wardrobe, and he pulled this wardrobe from the back and pulled it onto the floor. And like, you know, it's pretty big. Didn't hit her. didn't hit me, but this kid was just going nuts. And my mom, you know, I didn't know what happened because I was young. But later, like I said, my mother told me what happened. She said that they prayed for her, and whatever was, I guess, because I don't want to say it was an exorcism because, you know, I don't think it really was, but they just prayed for deliverance, I guess, and whatever was there, let go, let its grip up on her. And that was that. Like, it just got, you know, she said it got warmer back in the room. It got warmer again. And she said, oh, you know, I feel better. And I think that was it. And then I just remember what was going on upstairs in the room. I didn't know what happened, you know, downstairs. But I don't know. After that, that was that, as far as I know. My mom said that the woman was like a witch or something like that, and she was trying to get out of it, get out of the witchcraft or something like that. And that was, yeah, that's the other story that just came to mind. And those are the two things that I remember. Yeah.
Wow.
Even though the second one, I didn't see it happen. I just remember the little boy was going crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And attacking the girl. But yeah, I don't know.
That's incredible, actually.
Yeah.
You know, all right, so let's start with the most recent story you just shared with me.
Yeah.
So this lady, she was a witch?
Yeah. If I can remember, I remember, my mom said she was getting, I don't know if she was a witch or she was really into witchcraft, and she was getting scared or something like that, and she didn't want to be involved in it anymore. Because my mother's friend, she just became a Christian, and she was, prior to that, she was involved with some occult and, I don't know if you want to call it witchcraft, but she was involved with the occult. And after she, you know, became a Christian, you know, she would still get calls from her old friends. And the old friend said that she wanted to stop.
Okay, yeah. So this lady was involved in the occult. She got out of the occult, and since then, she has had friends that wanted to do the same thing. And this lady that came over to the house was one of those people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She no longer wanted to be involved with the occult as well.
Gotcha.
And yeah. That's how she knew her. I'm pretty sure that's how it was. Yeah.
And now it sounds almost like whatever had a hold of that lady also had a hold of her son.
When you started
telling me that, one of the things I started thinking of was, it almost sounded like whatever was going on wanted the son to distract, to stop what was happening downstairs.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It totally does. It's like, you know, the kid, you know, the whatever's, got a hold on her and possibly most possibly him. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like to take the focus off of what they're doing with her.
Right.
You know, this kid. Yeah.
Do you know if this lady was married at all?
Which one? The second story? Woman?
Yeah. The second story, the one where her son was upstairs with you.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure.
Okay. Cause I would just be interested to know, you know, whoever was living with her, if they all had the same thing happen to them at that moment, or if it was
just
her and her son because of what was happening there at the house.
Right. Imagine that. Like it happened somewhere else as well.
That'd be pretty incredible.
Yeah, it would.
So, okay. So you're the first story you shared with us, where was the head? Now, I'm assuming the head was floating. It wasn't sitting on something. It was floating.
No, it was
You said it was transparent.
Yeah, it was like semi-transparent, and it was mostly a grayish color, but it also had black, like especially where the eyes were, in the nose. It was like a pointy nose, like long and pointy nose, and where the nostrils were, it was like black, and it had teeth, like the teeth were always, they were like always being bare shown, you know, and they were like real pointy and dirty, like real dirty black, like looking, and real sharp, like pointy teeth, you know, some were longer than others, you know, it was just so disgusting. So, it was so scary.
Was it growling? Is that why it was showing his teeth?
No, it just, excuse me. It's like the lips were like pulled back, like the bottom and the top. It's like they were like I don't know how to describe it. Like they were pulled back, like there isn't much flesh to cover the lips. And the head of this thing was right. It was, let's see. All right, it was on her left shoulder, right next to her head, floating. There was nothing else. It was just that head next to hers. And it was floating. And okay. The direction of the head was in the same direction as the daughter's.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I mean, I remember it didn't have eyeballs. It was just like black, like circles kind of. Excuse me. And it was just like creepy. Yeah, it was so creepy, and it was just, I was shocked. It was more shocked, like I didn't know what it was. You know, I'm like 6, 7, and I had no idea what it was. I just knew that it was scary looking, and it didn't make sense to me, because, you know, but it was like, you know, it was daytime, you know, the sun was coming in through the windows. There was a couple lights on, I remember, lamps. Yeah, that was just the hair. I remember it was like long, but it was like sticking up like all over the place in every direction. And it was gray. The hair was gray. It was just, it was as if there was like lots of like gel in it or something, you know, like gel, you know, like our hair product. It hardens, and it was like that. But the hair was like long and sticking out in every which direction. It was like held in place, like a hair gel or something. I don't know. It's just so weird.
So it wasn't like static hair. It was more like almost like somebody took clumps of hair and gelled it together and spiked it.
Yeah. It was very bizarre. I don't know. I wish I could draw it. My mom, she got the best, you know, the best view. She probably even got closer to it, you know, and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I've asked her, you know, to collaborate with me, like what we both saw. And it was, you know, it was pretty much the same thing. You know, we came to the same ideas or what we saw. We came to the same conclusion, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So this face, when you're looking at it, are you looking at something that is more human looking, or was it more almost like, cause I mean, the way you're describing it with the pointy nose and the teeth that were more pointed, did it have more like almost like a troll face? Cause in my head, that's what I'm kind of almost picturing, like almost like a troll, or did it distinctly look like a human face?
The facial outline, I guess you could say, you know, like it was like a human face, like the definition of the face. It had like a forehead. It had, I guess, I don't remember ears, but it had like a jaw, you know, and it had a chin. I remember. I can't remember the ears, and it was just like, it was like kind of staticky looking, like transparent yet opaque at the same time, but also like flickery too. I don't know if I want to actually say it like if it was like the snow on a television set, it really wasn't like staticky like that, but it was like, it wasn't like all parts were being seen at all the time. Like parts would kind of like fade in and out, like kind of, it wouldn't go, and no parts would disappear, but it would just like become more transparent. And then it would go to like more of an opaque, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like on a Photoshop program when you can kind of change the transparency on the image.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Yep, just it's something like that. Yeah. Gotcha. So you could mm-hmm. still see it, but it just was at times it was more transparent than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said the face kept its, I guess its stare on this girl's mom, right?
Yeah, because it's like that. What it was like was whoever the daughter was talking to, or had its fixation upon, that's the direction this face would also face. It was like that because, like, it didn't even look at me. Or my mother when we first came in, the whole entire time it was looking at her mother and cursing her out, you know, like giving her like, you know, a real hard time. Like, you know, I'm not going to repeat it, but you know, it's
sure.
She was like going off on her mom, and it's like, to me, the way I looked at it was like, this thing was providing her like with the words to say, you know,
like she
that's
was possessed.
The way I thought of it. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, when you're describing what you're describing,
yeah,
it sounds like somebody that's, mm-hmm. that's the possessed. I've never heard mm-hmm. of, you know, like almost like an astral projection of something that's possessing something. I've only ever heard of, so, like, say somebody's possessed, that the demon is inside the person possessing their body. I've never heard of a demon being on the outside but still possessing the body at the same time. And that I find really interesting.
Me too.
When you guys showed up, her mom, mm-hmm. was her mom in the room with her, or was her mom kind of like mm-hmm. in a different room?
She was, like I said, like when you first walk in, there's the living room. And then a little bit further back, there's like a little doorway to the kitchen area. And the phone, I remember their phone was in the kitchen area. They had a long cord. So I guess, you know, when we got there, she was coming kind of like, she was actually like in the doorway of the kitchen. And then she fully came out of the kitchen and went into the living room. She didn't sit down though. She stood up the whole time.
Who would, and, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, cup of tea?
No, I would. That's nuts, man. Yeah, so she just, like, stood there, and I just remember my mom's, like, you know, when we came in. My mother didn't expect this to be there, so she took me with her, you know, because it was just such a quick phone call, my mom said. That, you know, she said, "Pat, come on over. Looks like Amy has some company." And that's just like, I guess, like slang or lingo for, you know, somebody's got, you know, a demon or something like that. So, you know, my mom didn't expect it to be like manifesting itself, like, you know, visually. So. My mom brought me with her. Plus my father, like I said, my father wasn't home to watch me. So, yeah.
Let me ask you now, in both stories you shared tonight, your mom was a key person in these stories. Was your mom actively pursuing rebuking spirits?
Well, she was bold. Like, I remember maybe, let's see, she said she was Catholic, and then after she met my father was, I think, Baptist, I don't know, in his family, she decided to become a Christian, and I guess so it was like 7 years, I guess, since I was born. She was like into prayer, going to prayer groups and stuff like that. And she would meet people, you know, and she'd pray with people. And so like I said, she met this woman, and this woman, it seems like this woman had a lot of, you know, stuff going on in her life. And we'd call my mom, and my mom would just, being my mom, she would, sure, yeah, I'll come over, let's pray, you know, or okay, yeah, let's handle this. Or so, yeah, my mom, you know, at the time was, I guess, busy with that and being called, you know, for that. I don't know if she's ever been any, I don't know if she's ever had any other situations or not. I know, you know, I'd have to ask her, but. You know, yeah. She said she's seen other things and, you know, witnessed other things. Like, not only just those types of things, but, like, miracles as well. You know, like, people being healed and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, all right, so let me ask you. I was going to ask you if this girl was messing with anything that could have brought this on. But let me redirect that question into two parts. Was the girl messing with something, but also was her mom messing with anything that you knew of?
Well, let's see. I think her mother at one point was, like I said, I think she might have been involved with the occult. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. And that's how she, you know, got out of it and started going to either a church or like a women's prayer group or something like that. And that's how my mother met her. And the daughter, she was always rebellious, you know, growing up. And she probably would be, I think she was probably, you know, I can't say for sure, but I think she was probably be messing, you know, around with the occult as well, or maybe some Ouija board action or whatever, you know. But I know that she was using drugs, and that was a definite yes, you know, definite with that. So I know, you know, they say that, you know, people who you know, mess with drugs, especially like hard, you know, hard drugs, especially like, you know, like heroin or crack, whatever, those things can open the door, because, you know, you don't have a grip on your life, and, you know, it's just an easy access point for something to come into your life.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially when, if you are dealing with the, you know, playing with the occult, like, I don't see why that, you know, wouldn't be a problem for something to happen. And it was just, I just remember my mother, like, you know, because, like, over the years I've always been interested in this paranormal or, you know, whatever. And I just would always like to ask her, like, you know, and as time went on, I seemed to be getting more and more answers from her. So, you know, I remember her telling me that, yeah, she died when she was like 20 or 21 from HIV AIDS. Because she got into prostitution, you know, not IV drug use, which is such a shame, you know. As far as I know, her younger sister is, from the last time I remember talking to her, which is probably like 10 years ago, she was doing fine. She was doing well. But, yeah.
So let me ask you, when you were in the house when you first got there,
yeah,
did you notice the room was cold? Because you mentioned how the room was cold before in the other house later on.
Yeah. I can't say. I wish I could say it was, but I don't remember, you know?
Yeah.
I remember like it was like, you know, my mom, she went up to the door first, opened the door, walked in. I walked in right behind her and, you know, I looked to my right and didn't notice anything at first. And then as soon as she started screaming, you know, and cursing, then I saw it and I was, you know, like your hair stands on end or
right.
You just get that, like that fight or flight feeling. That's what I got. But I don't remember if the room was cold or not.
Okay.
But the other one, the second story, the second one, definitely the whole, I remember the whole entire house was cold. Even upstairs, I remember. I was like, what? You know, it was summer, you know, they didn't have air conditioning. And I remember saying, why is it so cold? And my mom, kept wanting to go downstairs because I didn't want to be in the room with this kid. He was driving me nuts. And I remember my mother kept telling me, Brian, go upstairs, stay in Jenny's room, just stay in Jenny's room, you know. And that went on probably for like an hour. And that was cold, and that was very weird because that kid was just wilding out.
Right. So do you know what happened to the head? Did your mom ever tell you how that whole thing ended?
yeah, she said that after they were praying for her, it didn't have any effect, you know? And I know that the girl just was like, you know, F you, whatever, and just got up and walked upstairs to her room and slammed the door. And I remember I was outside and I can hear her screaming and slamming, you know, slamming stuff, breaking stuff and just going berserk. But I don't know if the head like followed her up or if it just disappeared or not. I'm going to have to ask about that actually.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so he said the girl left in an angry mess.
Yeah.
Did the head go with her? Did the head just stay there staring at mom? Did it disappear? Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's bad enough that you have there's some kind of demonic head sitting next to your daughter mimicking her mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and then it's looking at you.
Yeah.
Oh boy. My mom, I just got to say, my mother has never been scared of that stuff. I don't know why she's got such, you know, I guess faith or whatever. I mean, I'm scared of, you know, ghosts and all that stuff. But my mom, she's like, it's nothing, you know?
Did your interest from in all these topics and stuff, because you said you're interested in all this stuff, did it come from these experiences?
I guess you could say partly, you know, or, you know, like I think that actually might have sparked the fear that I've always had growing up. Like since then, or as a kid, I would always be scared of like, you know, the closet or, you know, something, like say you get into bed and you feel like something's going to grab your ankle as you get into bed. So I'd run and jump into bed, you know, like as a kid. And even as an adult, like it's just something like I don't ever want to see, you know? And, people have like all these stories, but at the same time, I think it's so interesting, you know, as long as it's not me,
right?
You know, I'm okay. But I think it's just very, really interesting, whether it be, you know, Sasquatch or the paranormal or what do you call them? Cryptozoologies, you know, not everything, but some of them, I think, are very
interesting. Cryptids and stuff.
Yeah, cryptids. I just always have been interested in it. You know, it's like, how does this happen? Like, you know.
What's your favorite cryptid topic to dive into?
Let's see. Can I say Sasquatch? Or
of course.
I mean, because that's, to me, the one that I think would be, you know, I think that one has the most chance of being real. Yeah, definitely. But I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. Like, you know, I'm from New Jersey, the Jersey Devil. I don't know about that. But, yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah, I mean, some of the evidence and some of the stories I hear, like, you know, Sasquatch Chronicles, for instance, it's just some of these stories. It's like, wow, you know, who can make this stuff up, you know?
Right.
And some of the, you know, the evidence I've seen, like, well, this, you know, foot impressions, and then you got Dr. Meldrum explaining, like, you know, the footprint and, you know, the mid-tarsal break or whatever, and all those, the physiology of the way a footprint is made by a certain animal is just like, wow, this stuff has to be, you know, true or something, you know?
Yeah, there's just so much evidence out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of people that say, if it's real, why don't we have pictures that are clear or clear video? And I often say, I don't know, because I just don't know. But, you know, that aside, there are a lot of physical evidences that are out there, you know? And so, yeah, there, you know, obviously I've said on previous shows, Sasquatch is something that's a big interest of mine. So,
yeah,
that's cool, man. So let me ask you, kind of rewinding here a little bit, and you may not know the answer to this, but I just want to ask you. You said that your mom had experienced other things like miracles. Did she ever tell you any of the things that she saw?
Let's see. I remember one time, this woman, she, what did she have? She had, not cerebral palsy, but something like it. And this, she had it for about 25 years, I would say. And she couldn't, you know, she couldn't walk, you know, normally, you know, I forget what it was. I don't know what the disease was, but, it was at her church. She was going through, this is back in, I think, 2005 or six. Her and her friends, I guess you could say, at church were praying for her. You know, of course, they've always been praying for her, but just this, I think it was before church started or whatever, they were praying for her, you know, for God to heal her. And no joke, this woman, like, who had this, you know, deformity or whatever, she got healed. She's still fine. Like, and it happened, you know, in an instant. Like, it wasn't just like gradual, you know, it happened like, bam, just like that. And she was able to walk without having to hold on to anybody or anything around her, you know? And she was kind of like, her movements were jerky and whatnot. And like when she was walking, it looked so like she was walking like a normal person, like smoother, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, for me, that's what I didn't see it happen, but I knew her before this happened for years. And I saw her after they prayed for her when she was healed. That was the one thing I can remember. But she's got a lot of stories, you know, from over the years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Since the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of them, but I couldn't believe that. I was like, wow, you know.
Sounds like your mom is somebody I want to talk to as well.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, you know what? I was like, yeah, maybe my mom should be the one on tonight.
Well, we could always do a sequel show.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
No, I asked that question because my grandfather was kind of like a traveling evangelist on weekends years ago, long, long time ago. And on his deathbed, he shared with me some stories of how he would pray for people and there would be healing involved and things like that, kind of like what you were describing. And I actually, this is years ago. I mean, I want to say it was probably 6 years ago at least when this happened. But, you know, he's telling me these stories in the hospital one night. And so the next night I came back with an audio recorder and I recorded him telling me these stories. And so I have these stories on audio that I'm actually going to release these stories as part of one of my episodes. I'm just waiting for the right episode. So maybe, maybe one day, you know, I'll talk to somebody that wants to share, you know, their stories of experiences with miracles and stuff. And I can kind of plug my grandfather's audio into that episode.
Yep.
But I got about 15 minutes worth of stories that he shared before he died. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great, bro. Yeah. That'd be a great episode, you know?
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Like you said, like have follow it up with his stories and wow, you know? Because I, you know, today it's like a modern times, you know, it's not like you don't hear about it as much as you do if you read, you know, like the New Testament when Jesus' ministry. You know, like all the you know, miracles being performed like today, it's like, you know, you don't hear too much, but
right.
I still honestly believe that there are miracles being performed, you know.
Sure.
Each and every day. Yeah.
Well, man, listen, I really appreciate you coming on, Brian. I think you had some great stories to share. And I know when we were first talking, you weren't sure if you'd have enough information, but I think you shared plenty of information tonight. And I think the audience is really going to enjoy this show.
Oh, great.
Do you have any,
thank you so much.
Do you have anything you'd like to say before we get out of here?
No, not that I can think of. I don't know. I mean, just from me to you, I just want you to, you know, encourage you, you know, keep going, keep it up, you know, because as soon as I found your podcast, I was like, oh, this is great, you know, you do a wonderful job, and you know, I really like listening to your podcast. So.
Well, I really appreciate that, man. I'm putting a lot of time and effort into it, so I want to make something that people really enjoy. So it's good to hear that people are enjoying it. So that's good.
Oh yeah, yep.
All right, man. Well, listen, I really appreciate talking to you. And if anything ever happens again, or if your mom would like to talk or something, you know, you can get a hold of me and we'll definitely arrange something like that.
All right. Great, Tony.
All right, man. Take care. All right.
Okay. You too.
Well, that's the show, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed it. And I enjoyed recording with Brian. I think he gave some great detail as to what he saw. And I hope it's enlightening, entertaining, and inspirational for all of you. Before we get out of here, I did mention earlier about following me on Instagram. I didn't tell you how to do that in case you wanted to see that video from earlier. My Instagram is Tony_Merkel, and that's the same as my Twitter. So both is the same. So it's @Tony_Merkel for Twitter, and it's Tony_Merkel on Twitter. You can look me up. I would be happy to communicate with you, as always. And if you have an encounter, email me at theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com or go to the connection section on the website and reach out to me. I really hope everybody has a great week. I'll see you next Saturday. Take care.
pray for this woman. She was like in a rocking chair in the room. The room got ice cold. Rocking chairs started to spin in circles.